26, eh? This will be a fun one. Fools, slackers, gossips, and haters, I pity the fool. A rod for the back of a fool. Character revealed as the rule. A dog returns to its vomited meal. A fool shies away from what is real. In shadows cast by ignorant sway, lessons ignored lead fools astray. The foolish shout, this is my truth. Their folly exposed, devoid of proof. A secret face hides a wicked play. Behind laughter hides dark and fray. A lying tongue brings only shame. Laziness is a poor man's game. Hatred may be concealed, but foolishness will be revealed. I can't go out there. There's a lion in the streets.
All right. Welcome back to Proverbs Every Day. My name is DJ. Glad to be with you here today. And obviously feeling much better in a good mood, in a scoffful kind of a mood, actually. Yeah, the puns will continue until morale increases. Anyway, Proverbs Every Day, episode, what is this, 270? Oh, my. I lost track, and I do apologize. That's on me, folks. I missed track. Yes, 270. Correct. Proverbs 26 coming at you really quick. Allow me to catch my breath here.
It's time for Proverbs Every Day. Words of wisdom show you the way. Every month a whole new look, different version of the book. Reading the whole chapter.
All right. So, yeah, just I might still be coughing a little bit as I'm talking here. I'm just still getting over this flu or whatever it was. So I do apologize for that. But, yeah, it's causing all sorts of disruption in my life. But I wanted to make sure to get this done. So here we go. Let's dive into – actually, take a moment of prayer here real quick, and then we'll dive in. Should we start like we always do? Father God, thanks for another day. Thank you for restoring my health and in that process. So Father, we do give you praise and honor for being the creator of perfection. And we just thank you for our ability to not be stuck in dark places, but that you reveal the light to us. So Father, we ask that today, that you would reveal the light of your wisdom onto us today, that we might be a light onto others as well. So Father, we love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll get back into the swing of things. Probably in just enough time for me to change it up again. Foreshadowing. Yeah. I'm working on another enhancement to the way we do things. And so it'll be one of those things where it's going to take a little bit more of my time each day, but it won't be a lot more of my time each day. So I think it's going to be okay. The processing time will be a little bit more, but I think it's still going to be worthwhile. So yeah, there's that. The glorious mute button. Sometimes it works against me. Other times it works for me, like when I'm coughing and whatnot. As long as I just don't remember to, or as long as I don't forget to turn it back on. In any case, let's get going here. Proverbs 26. Yeah. New stuff will make it easier for me to edit things like that out. Like snow in summer or rain at harvest time. So is honor for a fool is out of place. Like a fluttering sparrow or a flying swallow, an undeserved curse will come home to roost. A whip for a horse, a bridle for a donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Don't answer a fool in terms of his folly, or he'll be descending to his level. But answer a fool as his folly deserves, so that he won't think he is wise. Believe it or not, I think that might be the best translation of this I've seen yet. Other ones get it really, make it confused in the way they translate it. It's like they're translating the words, but not the context. And they make it so that it's like, yeah, I could show you, but you can always go back and view other episodes of this and see what I'm talking about here. But the message here is only answer a fool as his folly deserves so that they don't think they're wise. Other translations, it kind of make it sound like you should don't answer a fool, but actually other translations sometimes say don't answer a fool in terms of his folly or according to his folly, but answer a fool according to his folly. it's very confusing, but yeah, but the whole that descending to his level thing is another distinction here that I think is good, that I actually like this translation's way of putting it, that you really, if you're answering a fool on their terms, then you're just descending to their level. But there's a difference there in the way you can answer a fool in the way that they're kind of, their folly deserves, or a way that I don't want to be that guy that says that you should always just shut someone down and make them look stupid. The reality is you don't have to make them look stupid. They're doing that themselves. You know, just you don't have to be that kind of thing. But in terms of like, if they're giving this emotional argument about how awful it is that this, that, and the other, and you're a bad person because of this, that, and the other, you know, a lot of times just take a beat, take a moment, and answer as God would direct you instead of just answering it to their level. You know, does no, I'm not, or, you know, that's the kind of foolish that they expect back, right? So don't just answer back with that. It just doesn't make any sense. So as a whole, that's probably a whole masterclass that I need to give on that. There's a lot of it depends on whether or not you want to actually communicate with the person or not, or if you want to connect with the person or not. And that's really the key. And so if it's just somebody who's being a fool and you have no, you know, interest in a relationship there, it's probably best to just let it alone completely and just let it go. Okay. Something's been on my mind, and this is just a thing. When it says don't answer a fool, I think this is God telling me I need to bring this up right now, is this is a rough one, because I'm on a platform that really depends on the way you react, right? Which stinks, because I'm realizing that the way people react, or the training to react, is like a training program. And I've been noticing this about myself. We're to the point now where we're reacting to everything. I mean, it's not just to like a video or something on social media or whatever. We're reacting to text messages, for crying out loud, now. Now we have reaction emojis to people's text messages. I find my wife and I doing this to ourselves. Sometimes we're in the same house. Instead of me going downstairs and talk to her, I'll send her a text and I'll get a thumbs up in response as a reaction. It's not even an answer. It's just a reaction. And so we're in that culture right now of that being trained to instantly respond, react. And that's not what this says. To simply react is basically on that same level. So make sure you like this video and subscribe. Oh, It's so frustrating to me. Please don't do so just to react. Just genuinely, if you are appreciative of this, it's fine to react. It is. Or to give a like or a thumbs up, thumbs down, share, whatever. It is fine. I'm just saying that I'm noticing that even in my own life, I'm doing this too rapidly. Or it's too much of a habit, and it's becoming to the point of being kind of dismissive. And I don't want that to be the case. It's also getting to the point where I feel like I need to respond to everything. It's like I'm being trained to respond to everything, and I'm becoming aware of this, and I need to get away from that. So that's something that I'm actively preying on. What is the point of balance here? You know, how can I be supportive of the things I need to be supportive of without just simply reacting to everything? Again, it's a hard thing to be in my position in this case and know what to do or to ask people to do or whatever, knowing full well that they're in a training program. It's a rough one. But in terms of arguments, though, that's really where we're getting at here. If we see something silly online, do we need to react to it? No. We don't need to. Yeah. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Verse 6, telling a message to a fool and sending him out is like cutting off one's feet and drinking violence. The legs of the disabled hang limp and useless. Likewise, a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like one who ties his stone to the sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Okay, I got too much into it, and I'm paying the price, but yeah, it was worth it. Worth it. Verse 9, like a thorn branch in the hand of a drunk is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Yeah, the misquoted fools, the misquoted proverbs from fools. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. A master can make anything, but hiring a fool is like hiring some passerby. I don't know how many of us are in this. I mean, I know I'm starting to talk more and more to people that are leaders and business owners. And so I do think this is important, especially for those that are in that steward mindset. We need to be careful who we entrust. Otherwise, I'll just grab somebody randomly off the street. You'll probably have better luck than if you just hire someone and keep them on and they're not doing what they need to be doing or they're just obviously not capable. Verse 11, just as a dog returns to its vomit, a fool repeats his folly. Do you see someone who thinks himself wise? There's more hope for a fool than for him. That's that humility thing right there. The humility comes before wisdom. And if they are thinking themselves wise, that kind of goes against humility, doesn't it? Verse 13. And this one goes back to, was it 22? I think it's Proverbs 22. I don't have them memorized yet, folks. I read them all the time. I don't have them memorized. verse 13, the lazy person says there's a lion in the streets. A lion is roaming loose out there. The door turns on its hinges and the lazy man on his bed. The lazy person buries his hand in the dish and is too tired to return to his mouth. A lazy man is wiser in his own view than seven who can answer with sense. So this all ties together. So this is, so the lazy man is wiser in his own view than seven can answer with sense. It's fascinating to me to watch how people are defensive about being just apathetic. You know, they're defensive of their apathy. You know, they're absolutely just convinced that they're better off not doing anything than just getting out there and doing the work. It fascinates me. Or they feel sometimes they're justified. I've even had people that I used to call friends that honestly, they try to justify it spiritually, which I used to tolerate, but I don't anymore. No way. No way. Laziness is laziness. And you try to make excuses for it spiritually by saying things like, well, you know, it's not good for people to have money. And so if I have money, I'm not therefore a bad person. So I shouldn't go out and earn money. Okay. Hope you don't have kids. Good thing nobody else is depending on you. Good thing that, you know, you don't have, yeah, I'm going to stop there. but that whole concept of there's a lion in the streets, there's a lion roaming loose out there, that becomes their reality. It's like they convince themselves that it's literally true, that they're better off staying in their own home and not going out. That it's literally a truth for them. A truth, not the truth, by the way. It's a reality for them, I should say. So it's one of those things where it's like verse 15 there says, a lazy person buries his hand in the dish, is too tired to return it to its mouth. That's just the result of this. It's not that they're obstinate by willingness and that sort of thing. They're more like just so apathetic that they just are just stuck. So we have fools, we have lazy people. What else we got? Verse 17. Like someone who grabs a dog by the ears is a passerby who mixes in a fight not his own. Social media much? I think verse 17 probably describes the vast majority of what I see on LinkedIn, and definitely darn close to 90% of what I see on Twitter and those other platforms you won't catch me on. Well, LinkedIn is one I am usually on, but some of the other ones like the Blue Sky or whatever it is, or Parler, or, you know, any of these other ones, no way, not a chance. All it is people arguing, at least from what I can tell, or just glad handing each other in their hatred of other people or whatever, you know. I'm just, yeah. So I'm not mixing in that fight. I know better. Verse 18, like a madman shooting deadly arrows and firebrands is one who deceives another and says, it was just a joke. You know, okay. This is one of those things where what drives me crazy about the world is how we know that this is a thing. And we literally saw this play out, ladies and gentlemen. We literally saw this play out about a week ago. I think it was a week ago or last week or whatever, where former vice presidential candidate Tim Walz, whatever, was doing a town hall specifically against Elon Musk, and said that he was glad he had an Apple app that told him when the stock was going down so he could watch Tesla stock drop. So, in summary, you have a former vice presidential candidate. In other words, the person, you know, one heartbeat away from the president had he been elected, that is rooting for the destruction of an American company because he disagrees with that company's CEO, or, you know, not even CEO or whatever. I don't know, whatever position he has. It doesn't really matter. It literally doesn't matter. When even people in his own party came down on him after that, he immediately takes to the microphone elsewhere and says, "Oh, it was just a joke. Oh, come on, I was just joking around." No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You weren't joking. You were dead serious. You got caught. But like a madman shooting deadly arrows and firebrands is one who deceives another and says it was just a joke. Do better. Do better, like 3,000 times better. And then keep going. I don't like being political, but that's the kind of stuff that I just cannot stand. Is what, you know, that kind of stuff. And why? Because this is our character, right? This is what we're supposed to be, and that's obviously the opposite of that character. It says it right here. So, no, I don't think so. Mean what you say. And if you're going to be joking around about something, yeah, there's just certain things you just don't joke around about like that, and it's just not appropriate. But I can go on and on and on about that, but that's, yeah, it's right there. We're living this out, folks. This is not old news in terms of Proverbs. This is still very relevant in our culture. In fact, I think this chapter might be one of the most culturally relevant right now, and I really, really wish that wasn't true. Speaking of, now let's talk about some gossips. Verse 20, if there's no wood, the fire goes out. If nobody gossips, contention stops. As coals are to embers and wood to fire, is a quarrelsome person kindling strife. In other words, if you're quarrelsome and you have somebody that's gossiping, removing those from the situation, ta-da! So don't listen to a gossip. Don't heed somebody who is just being argumentative. Mm. Gossips and haters. Verse 22, a slanderer's words are tasty morsels. They slide right down into the belly. And we've talked about this one before. So this is a notion of this is always tough because it sounds like this is saying it's a good thing. It's actually not. What this is saying is that the words are easy to digest, I guess you could say. They're latching on to them and kind of grabbing on to what people have to say about each other, that sort of thing. It's a natural thing for us because we're fallen people. And so sliding right down into the belly, it's like you're not even chewing it. You're not even digesting it. It's just all of a sudden now it's part of you. You know, you need to be very cautious about that. You know, that sometimes that somebody's saying something bad about somebody else, it's important to take a moment and say, are they right? Is that actually true? You know, did I watch that? You know, it's important. You know, I wouldn't have said what I was saying about Tim Walz had I not taken the news story was there and gone and find the context and say, okay, well, what else was he saying during the whole thing? It was like, what else was there? You know? And so getting the context around it, that sort of thing. And yeah, that's how I know he wasn't just joking, by the way. But in any case, it's one of those things where I don't want you to take my word for it either. You know, I don't want to be a slanderer. You know, that's not my intention here. It's to correct our character. And so this is one of those things, though, it gets right down in there and it's hard to get out is what that means as far as slides right down to the belly. It's just, it's there now. And so it has to be dealt with now and it will be digested and become a part of you. It's not, I'm sitting and talking with my hands below where you can see. I just realized I'm doing that. So that's why I'm bouncing around. Oh my gosh. I'm saying every time I laugh, I start coughing. So that's a miserable thing. I like laughing. Verse 23. Like silver slag overlaid on a clay pot. And silver slag, by the way, is the dross that comes off of the refining process for silver. And so a lot of times what they would do is take that slag and put it over clay and make it look a lot like a silver pot would look. But the reality is it's just an appearance. It's not actual silver. There's little, you know, nuances if you carefully inspect it, but yeah, that's what silver slag is. So like silver slag overlaid on a clay pot are lips that burn with friendship over a hating heart. Burn with friendship over a hating heart. That is a weird translation, actually. Now I'm looking at it. It's a fascinating way to say that. Yeah, if I wasn't getting to preaching so much today, this might be one to go look at some cross references to and then see what else you can find about this. We've gone through this before, and I know this is a different translation in a lot of places, but just note that for the future. I got to get going here. Verse 24, he who hates may hide it with his speech, but inside he harbors deceit. He may speak pleasantly, but don't trust him. For seven abominations are in his heart. His hatred may be concealed by deceit, but his wickedness will be revealed in the assembly. And so that's the silver slag part of this. So so in other words, I'm not saying don't trust people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying build the right kind of relationships that allow you to, and be cautious with people you don't know, don't already trust, you know, just because they speak eloquently and, you know, that sort of thing doesn't necessarily mean they're telling the truth. So it's important not frugal. That's not frugal. Oh my goodness. Prudent. I guess really is the word there. So, yeah. Verse 27, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on the one who starts it rolling. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth causes ruin. I guess really it is just a matter of just saying, if you are laying a trap for someone, then, you know, verbally or whatever that looks like today, then just be aware that that might come back to you. So just be plain in your dealings with people. That's really what it comes down to. All right, y'all. I have kept you for almost a half hour now, so I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to go let my voice recover with a with a nice little cough drop of my own. Not an endorsement. Just saying it's something I'm going to do. At the end of the video, I'll have a link for you for the Proverbs 26 song. My little ska translation. So I hope you enjoy that. But I will plan on seeing you tomorrow. In the meantime, be blessed by the best and then go be a blessing to all the rest. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.